Well, let me invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And as you're turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, let me ask you a question. You walk by people that don't know Jesus Christ each day of your life. Now, you don't know if they don't know the Lord, but that's the world we live in. How do you respond to people around you? How do you treat unbelievers that you live around? How do you treat lost people that you work with? You know, the reality about it is every one of us live and work and walk around people that are lost without a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But when you talk to some of them, it's amazing what some of their testimonies are. Some lost people will say, you know what? I've been so turned off by Christians that I'm just not going to ever go to church. Some would say other things. But the reality about it is every one of us live and work and walk around people that don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and that's on purpose. God doesn't put you where He puts you by accident. So, wherever you are and wherever you work and whoever you come across in a day's time, the Bible says God has a way of arranging and orchestrating our steps. People you don't know that don't have a relationship with the Lord. And you know, only the Lord God knows how many unbelievers are turned off by quote-unquote Christians. That is, they say, well, you know, Pastor, if you knew what I knew about that person, their business dealings are underhanded, they do things that are shady and all of this. You know, there is a saying, what you and I do speaks so loudly that a lot of times they can't hear a single thing that we say. And it's very unwise if we try to learn some formula in order to reach a lost person when we don't watch our character and our conduct. What I want to deal with this morning is how to treat an unbeliever. If you'll take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. If you ever want to look at someone who treated people with dignity and respect and kindness, there is nobody like the life of Christ that depicts that. Now, you're probably going to say, well, Jesus Christ was perfect and sinless and the world He lived in was not as complicated as it is now. Well, yes, it is. As a matter of fact, if you and I lived back in that day and knew what that day was like, there was no such thing as democracy. There was no such thing as the freedoms that you and I know. It was a dictatorship in the day and time that Jesus lived. But this morning, I want us to look at how to treat an unbeliever. When your life is said and done with on this earth, and you walk out of this life and you walk home to be with the Lord, wouldn't you love to know that you walked in such a way that other people were, they may never have come to you and said it, but your life was just that attractive witness. That is, you did your best to walk honoring and pleasing to the Lord. Now, some Christians have the idea that, you know, to bring people to Christ, we got to tell them everything they're doing wrong. You know, you need to tell them what they need to do and how they need to quit this and throw this out. Well, that is so inconsistent with the Bible. Number one, it's not your responsibility and my responsibility to convict them of sin. That's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. But I want you to listen carefully to this passage of Scripture and then follow along with me in your outline. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came into Him, and He sat down and taught them. Watch what happens. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto her, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. If you want to get an example of Jesus encountering a lost person, a person that definitely needed him, it was this woman. The Bible says she was a person that had committed adultery, caught, the Bible says, in the very act. And with this passage in mind, I want you to keep your Bible open because I want you to look carefully in this passage of Scripture. But before looking at how to treat the unbeliever, notice a few things that Jesus didn't do whenever you look at this passage of Scripture. And one of the things you need to look at the life of Jesus, one thing that Jesus did not do, he did not run all over the territory trying to lead people to himself. If you'll listen and read Jesus very carefully, the Bible says that he walked. What does that mean? That means that wherever you go and wherever you step, that's your responsibility. You're to bear witness wherever you go. Another thing that Jesus did not do, he didn't share a formula, but built relationships. Now, this is not to put down formulas, but I want you to listen to me very carefully. One of the responsibilities by God before every one of us is to build relationships. Amen? After all, how are you going to ever bear witness if you don't care about somebody? Now, that's not to say that there is, you know, when you knock on a door and visit, God works in those ways absolutely as well. But one of the ways that Jesus, all throughout Scripture, he built relationships. He built relationships with people that were lost, and he showed them love. He showed them kindness. He showed them trust. And another thing you need to understand, too, is this. He didn't win the world in his day. One of the things that I've heard in time past, and you'll hear said, you know, we need to win the world to Christ. Well, there's one problem with that. You'll never win the world to Christ. Because Jesus himself says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. It's not that he wants them to be lost or that the Father wants them to be lost, but it's simply because the masses are going to choose to willfully, deliberately reject Jesus Christ. And another thing, whenever you look at the life of Jesus, because he didn't win everybody to himself, he didn't feel like a failure. Now, some of you are bearing witness to someone. You have your life beside a person that's lost, and you've not won them yet to faith in Jesus Christ. Would you listen very carefully? Yours is to bear witness to them. Yours is to love them where they are, love them, bear witness of the gospel. And if you're doing that, you're a success in the sight of the Father. I remember sometime years ago when, you know, going out visiting, and I'd share the plan of salvation with someone, and I'd ask them, would you like to be saved? And there's nothing that hurts your feelings, especially when somebody says no. No, not today. And so you feel like, you've rejected me. Listen, when you and I understand that ours is to bear witness, Jesus did not feel like a failure because everyone didn't come to him. You remember the story of the rich young man. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus told him what to do. And he said, all these things have I done. I've kept the commandments. And Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And the Bible says he walked away sorrowfully. Now, I want you to watch carefully. Jesus did not run him down and say, well, let me change this. Listen, there is only one way to God the Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is genuine, authentic, biblical repentance. Jesus said, unless you repent, there's no way you can get into the kingdom of God. There's a lot of people saying just do your best, try your best, or try to amend your life. You cannot go to heaven that way. And here's Jesus. He's coming into contact with this woman. And by the way, he didn't lower the standard of repentance. You know, there's some people that says, well, you know, if church would change a little bit, listen, you and I need to be reminded that at the end of life, there's going to be a judge over all of us, and that judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He's going to judge your life, and he's going to judge my life. And he's going to not only know whether you accepted Christ, he's going to know what you did with your Christian life, and he's going to know, dear friend, if you've rejected the gospel. Wouldn't it be a foolish thing to go to a surgeon and a surgeon not wanting to hurt your feelings, said, by the way, you know, I've taken some x-rays, but I don't want to tell you the bad news. When all of a sudden you've got something going on, maybe some type of cancer in your body, and something keeps going on, and you go to another doctor and say, well, what's wrong with me? And he says, well, here's what's going on, and he tells you the truth. That surgeon doesn't want to tell you the bad news. Now, listen to me very carefully. We need to be loving enough, we need to be bold enough, we need to be caring enough that we are willing to tell people the absolute truth. Not tell it in harshness or tell it in hostility, but to tell, said, you know what, I was a sinner. And I, you know, without the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, there's no way to be saved. And Jesus never did change it. So you and I need to be conscious of that. And, you know, another thing Jesus didn't do, he didn't declare that the masses are going to be saved. It may very well be, and God forbid that it would be the case, it may be that one of you here today will die without Jesus. Not because he wants you to, but you just choose to rebel and rebel and rebel and rebel and rebel and rebel against the grace of God. There is no hope for that person who lives a continually rebellious life. The Bible says that person who continually sins will be cut off and without remedy. Jesus loved this woman enough to tell her the absolute truth. So with that in mind, how should you and I treat an unbeliever? Well, look at how the people expected Jesus to respond to her. First, the Bible says the scribes and the Pharisees caught the woman in adultery. And the Bible says in the very act. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever wondered, how did they know where to go? How did they know what was going on? Listen, they lived in their world. They knew their world just like you and I know our world. And the Bible makes it very clear. Listen, first was the expectation to kill the woman. Why? Because that's what the law said. But here's what they missed out. It was right to kill her if the man was around. Did you notice that there's one component to this adulterous situation that's missing? The man is not around. Could it be that somebody said the man got gone before they came? Could it have been he was some figure in the community? The Bible just simply doesn't say. But the people expected Jesus to say, well, kill her. Now, hear me very carefully. We live in a world where people love money and use people. We're to use money and love people. And in the midst of this situation, the expectation of the crowd was, she's not a person to love, she's someone to kill. She's something to kill, she's something to get rid of. Let me ask you a question. I want to ask every single believer, when you look at people that come in and out of your place of business, wherever you work, do you and are you reminded that they're created by the Lord God, that they have an eternal destiny over their life? They're going to heaven or they're going to hell. They really are going to come to the end of their life. Listen, I don't think I've ever heard of so many young people dying in our day and time. So many young people's lives coming to an end. And God forbid that somebody come across your life and say, well, I'm just afraid. Ask God to help you. He'll give you the boldness. He'll give you the unction. He'll give you the guidance. He'll give you the wisdom. And you see, you know, they expected Jesus to execute her and say, well, you know, she's to be executed. And then there was another thought, well, you know, he'll free her. You know, if Jesus would have freed her, it would appear that Jesus would have been soft on sin. Now, listen very carefully. Jesus is never soft on sin. Because you can bow your knee and ask God to forgive you and confess your sins doesn't mean he's soft on sin. That means he's paid a tremendous price for your sin. He's paid the ultimate price in his blood. And here is this woman brought to him. Now, get the picture. She is an adulterer. She's caught in the act of adultery, and they throw her at the feet of Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do you think she would dare want to listen to any of the scribes? Do you think she would dare listen to the Pharisees? They were religious folk. Listen, it's sad, but there are some religious folk that are no spiritual good to God. And here's why. They've been so busy looking, criticizing, condemning, belittling, degrading, and all of a sudden they want to tell somebody about Jesus. Let me say this. If I was a lost person and somebody belittled me and degraded me and criticized me, you can chunk it. I'm not going to listen to you. And that's exactly why we have a world that's lost. It's why we have so many people that won't listen. And you see, you know, whenever you look at Jesus and what happened in this situation, you need to look at how he did respond to her. I want you to look at how Jesus did respond to her. Now, here's a woman. She's committed sexual immorality, and it's just happened. I mean, you know, she's there. The Bible makes it very clear that he didn't belittle her. How many times does somebody come by your life and you know what they're doing wrong? You know how they're living. You know how they're behaving. It's so easy to get in the flesh sometimes. Don't you answer that out loud. It's so easy to want to say something to somebody that's lost. Listen, you need to be very conscious. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to convict them of sin. You don't know all the story. Jesus could have said, why did you do that? Why did you go to bed with that man? Why did you do this and this and this? Jesus used the story of sexual immorality because that is one that is prevalent from generation to generation. But one thing she never heard coming out of the lips of Jesus, he never belittled her. And here's why. Everybody you come across in life is somebody created by Holy God. Amen? You say, well, they're wicked and they're ungodly. Listen, they wouldn't be alive and they wouldn't be living. They wouldn't be walking. They wouldn't be talking if it wasn't for the hand of God over their life. You're here this morning and you found your life that is absolutely blown up. Let me tell you one thing that God will not do to you. He will not. You say, I've had so many people convict me and condemn me and belittle me. That is not what Jesus will ever do. Jesus will never do that. He could have, but he didn't. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who drives home to your heart. You're a sinner. The Holy Spirit is the one that drives home to every one of our hearts. And one of the things we need to be mindful of, people we come across and they're living ungodly, it's not your responsibility to belittle them. When you belittle them, you lose your testimony. Wouldn't it be horrible for a person to be lost and need somebody to witness to them, but they don't want you because all you've done is belittled them, degraded them, and they will never turn to you. It doesn't matter how many verses in this Bible you learn. If you have a belittling, degrading personality and you treat people like that, they will never listen to you the longest day of their life. We're not made that way. Let me ask you this. Do you like to talk to somebody that degrades you? Do you like to take them out to lunch? You know, can you imagine somebody comes and says, I'm going to take so-and-so out to lunch. I can't afford to. They love to put me down, belittle me, and degrade me. There's a place in, I think it was at Hilton Head some years ago. I think it was called Krabby Nick's. And one of their claims to fame is they'd insult you. And you go in, they'd insult you. And that day and time, Charlotte was working at the health department. She said, I don't need any of that right now. I've got enough of that at work. That's the world you and I live in. How do you want to be treated? How would you like for people to treat you? You say, well, they're sinning. Listen, leave that to God the Father. Leave that to the Holy Spirit. You put your life around them. Listen, why do you love me? I think about people that have come across my life. And when I was just a young boy in Sunday school, I think about those precious teachers that loved us junior boys and got around their life and just showed love. Listen, he didn't belittle her. Another thing he didn't do, he didn't scold her. Nothing is penned about her being scolded for her sinfulness. Now, some of you may think, well, now wait just a minute. Is Jesus letting it by? No, listen. What is the most important, scolding somebody for their sinfulness or letting somebody know they can have the best life in the world if they'll turn to Jesus Christ? He didn't do it. Why? Because every one of us, if you're a conscious thinking person, nobody wants to live in horror. Nobody wants to live a terrible life. I don't think I've ever met a person in my life that's come to me and said, you know what? I just hope my life's miserable. It's miserable and I'm loving every day of it. Nobody wants to live that way. But here's what, she didn't know another way. She didn't know how to get out of her situation. And that's why God brings you across people that are lost. They don't know how to get out of it. Those precious children that have come this week, and Byron and I have pulled up a piece of carpet in the office and talked to each one of them. And I've asked them, I said, each one of them said, now where are you going when you die? You know, let's be honest, this is serious business. I said, where are you going? And they go like that. I said, you don't want to go there, do you? That's why the Father's put you where He's put you. You're beside, ladies, you're beside some woman. Her life is a miserable wreck. And you say, why don't she straighten her life up? She don't know how to. How did you know how to straighten your life up without Jesus? You can't. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. And so one of the things that the Father does, he puts us beside individuals. Listen, He didn't scold her. Another thing He didn't do, He didn't shame her. Listen, Jesus didn't shame her for committing adultery. He had the right to. Here is Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, but the Bible says nothing about Him shaming her. She knew what she had done was wrong. And you know what's interesting? Whenever you get beside a person and you start sharing your faith with them, they know what they're doing is wrong. They know what's happened in their life. I was pastoring at a church one time, and all of a sudden there was a lady was singing a special. And as she was singing, she passed out. And when she passed out, I immediately went to the podium and, you know, tried to help her out. And I looked up to her mother, and I said, what's wrong? Didn't know what she was going to tell me. She was a single girl, and her mother just couldn't help but blurt it out, said she's pregnant. What that young lady needed is somebody to get around her life and to love her. You know why? Listen, I can tell you this. There's enough women, there's enough young men in this world that don't get love at home, love from mom and dad. And so here's what they do. They throw their bodies to anybody that will say, I love you. There's somebody that will show them attention and affection. Is it right? God forbid. But that's exactly what happens in our world. Listen, when you find somebody that loves you, believes in you, cares about you, there's just something you want to do. You want to please that person. And God puts you around other people. He don't put you around somebody to shame them. He puts you around people so you can encourage them. Maybe your son or your daughter, they feel like life is, they're having a hard time at school. That's the ones you need to encourage. That's the one that you really need to uplift. The Bible doesn't say anything about Him shaming her. It doesn't say anything about condemning her. Listen to what it says in verse 10. Look in verse 10. Neither do I condemn you. Jesus was talking to all of those that were there. Listen, they were religious, but here's what their problem was. They were better than her. Wouldn't you like to go on a vacation with somebody that's better than you? You ever met anybody that's better than you? They're so sorry that you're the way you are. They're so much better than you are. And maybe when you arrive, you'll be like them. You see, here's what she knew. I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I've committed a sin. And this sin is deserving of capital punishment. She knew there was not much hope for her life. And that's the world you and I live in. Have you ever seen a time of hopelessness in the lives of people? Look in their eyes. Look in their eyes. And as you look in their eyes, the hopelessness, the despair, the hurt, the agony. There is something about when you get beside people. As I visit people in the hospital and in Oak Tree where I serve and serve alongside as chaplain, it's amazing how the Father brings me across individuals, not just patients, but staff. That are struggling and hurting. You know, the Bible doesn't say anything about Him condemning her. It's not your responsibility to condemn somebody. You say, well, man, I do such a good job at it. The sad part of it is that we're real good at a lot of the wrong things. Listen, I want you to listen to me real carefully. There is a horrible thing happening throughout the landscape of America. 4%, less than 4% of young people in their mid-20s even desire to go to church. Less than 4% even yearn to go. What's going on? Many of them come from unbelieving homes. That's understandable. But here's what happens. They get around people that name the name of Jesus. They say things at work, do things at work. Well, I tell you what, give me a little bit under the table. Your integrity ought to be the most important thing to your life. Because Paul said, guard your life and your doctrine carefully. Listen, you know what you hear other people say? You know what you see other people? You know how other people respond, other people behave? Some of you couldn't wait the other night when we was outside. Like, I want to get the pastor in the Duncan booth to see what he does. But here's what, listen, this woman was amazed what she didn't hear Jesus say. Not one word of belittling. Not one word of scolding. Not one word of condemnation. Some of you, that's all you've heard in your life. All you've heard is your parents condemn you and scold you and belittle you. All you've heard is criticism. Now, does that mean that you don't teach your children? No. But there's a lot of ways that you can teach your children and don't have to do anything with putting them down or belittling them. Can't you do anything right? Listen, there's a better way to do that. Jesus didn't scold her. He didn't belittle, but he saw her of value. Let me ask you a question. When you're going through the checkout and that lady's so exhausted, I'm so worn out, so tired of being here. Well, give me my groceries. I got to go. Do you see her as a person of significance in the sight of the Father? How do you know but what you may not see her the next time because of some accident? You see, there's so many variables in life. So many things happen. Notice how Jesus did respond. Look at number three. First of all, he saw her as a person. Listen to what he says. He said, woman. Now, you need to understand, in that day and time, now, don't throw stones and don't get angry, but this is just the facts. A woman was a piece of a lady was a piece of property. There was such a thing as live pieces of property and dead pieces of property, like a hammer, and she was considered a piece of property. Jesus said, woman. Listen. Jesus saw her as significant, even in the midst of her sin. You want to really get somebody, though they're in the midst of sin, you get beside them and you love them and you treat them with love, you treat them with respect, you treat them with dignity, you treat them with kindness, you treat them with awe. And they think, don't you know what I did? Yes. Don't you know what's been going on in my life? Yes. Listen, you say, well, why do you treat me nice? Because the love of Christ. Listen. Jesus didn't belittle, he saw her as a person. One of the ways you win a person to Jesus Christ, you say, well, now, wait a minute, I got to get all these verses right. Listen, the verses are significant, yes. But if you talk to somebody through a spirit of harshness, number one, they don't want to listen to you. I'll never forget till my dying day, going visiting with a preacher friend. I was in revival in church some years ago. We was going to a lady's house, to a husband and wife's house, but he was gone. But we was talking to the precious woman in the house, and he asked her, he said, are you saved? She said, no, I'm not. Said, do you want to be saved? And she said, not right now. And man, at that point, he just finally got on her case. He said, you mean to tell me that you want to die and go to hell, and you want to go to hell, and you want to be lost forever? You're telling me you want to do that? Now, it sounds extreme, but listen to me very carefully. That's a lot of times what happens, and people are turned off. You know what happens? There's something that happens when you just see a person as a person of dignity, respect, and love, and care for them. You know what happens? They'll listen to you when they won't listen to anybody else. They'll come to you when they won't come to anybody else. Second of all, he let her know that she was loved. There was not a single person that showed love to her that day. Now think about this. She had committed a capital offense. She was deserving of death. Everybody said, you deserve to die. Except Jesus. Everybody said, you deserve to be executed. Except Jesus. Look at what happened. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, all right. You can stone her, but here's the conditions. Let him without sin cast the first stone. You see, you can stone other people that are lost or other believers as long as you can do it without sin. Jesus said, all right, take a boulder and stone her. The condition is this. one of you that is sinless can do it. The Bible says in their own heart. And you know what happens in our own heart? We know our own shortcomings. Every one of us, we know our own failures. And you know, think about it. Think about that person that came by your life and loved you, cared for you, was kind to you. And you see, that's exactly what happens, how you treat an unbeliever. You know, there's another question that needs to be asked. Could you have turned, can we turn somebody off so much that they don't even want to hear the gospel? 30, let her know that Almighty God didn't condemn her. Now, the Bible says, Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. You need to understand what the word condemn means. Condemn has to do with an eternal sentence. God puts you and me around people all the time on purpose. Sometimes we'll say, I don't know why God don't move me. I just can't stand that man. Richard Blackaby shares a story about a man who been at work for 12, 13 years. This is a true story. And he said, if you don't see anything happening in your life, maybe you need to move. And that man took that to heart. He ate at the same place, same table, every day, day after day, week after week, year after year. And after hearing that, he said, you know, I'm going to move tables. And he started eating with a man, and that man's life was about ready to fall apart. And he said, you know, there's a preacher at our church preaching tonight, and I have a hunch you're not in a hurry to go home, because he said, you know, this man told him, he said, tonight after I get home, he said, my wife and I are going to call it quits. And that man went to the church services that night. The invitation came. He didn't go forward. And they drove back home. And that man was just thinking, I don't know why he didn't go down front. He needs the Lord. And there's right in front of his house. And he said, I had to do something. Listen, God puts you beside people that are, their lives are about ready to explode. Their lives are about ready to blow up. And God does that deliberately and intentionally. God's put me beside people that one particular person shot and killed his dad. You try to bear witness in a situation like that. But this man, he said, before you get out of the car, I just have to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He said, no. He said, why didn't you go up tonight? He said, I didn't know I could. He said, you could have. He said, but would you like to accept Jesus right now in the car? He said, can I? Yeah. And that dad bowed his head, invited Christ into his heart, got out of the car, and here's what he said before he got ready to go in the house. He said, you know what? I'm going to go back in and tell my kids and tell my wife they've got a new daddy now. What if that man hadn't been there? What if that man hadn't been there? What if he hadn't shared the gospel? What if he had not been there and that man would have got out of the car and gone into the house and his family would have exploded right in front of his eyes, all because, but you know what? He found somebody that treated him with kindness. He found somebody that didn't criticize his life, belittle his life, degrade his life, but just got beside him and loved him. There's somebody you've been around for a long time and you've not figured out why. Maybe you just realize it this morning. God's put you beside them to love them. God's deliberately put you beside them to care for them. And in the timing of God, He wants you to bear witness to them and share with them how to be saved. You see, here's the reality. Everyone's going to die. Only the redeemed are going to heaven. But God wants to redeem all of those that are around our life. He wants to bring them to faith in Christ. And you say, well, isn't it funny how things happen? No, there's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as coincidence. All your steps are orchestrated by God. I'll never forget, till my dying day, being on the phone with a cheerleader in our school. The last words I can remember her hearing in my mind, "I wish I knew could have what you've got." I didn't share the plan of salvation with her. I hung the phone up. Years later, I wondered what happened to her up until just about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. I found out 1 year later, she took her life. What if I'd taken the time to share with Gigi Oliver how to be saved? I thought, shoot, she was so attractive, I thought, well, she won't talk to me, but she was in misery. She was missing something. How many people go by your life and mine, and they're just wondering, will you extend an arm of love? You may not have a whole lot of time. You're going through the checkout lane. Oh, listen, you don't know what these words. Hey, you have a good day. Thank you. Appreciate you. You know what? When their life comes boiling to the, things will happen. I was in Pizza Hut not long ago. Lady gave me my bill. That's nothing unusual. And on the back side of it, she said, "Would you please pray?" And she wrote it out. You don't know who God puts beside your life, but they're there on purpose. How do you treat an unbeliever? If you've bawled them out, you need to confess it to God. If you belittle and degrade them, you need to confess that to God right where you're sitting. Friend, you're here and you're lost without Christ, or maybe you've been saved. Why don't you come? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your amazing, wonderful, matchless, eternal love. Father, we can never praise you enough, love you enough, worship you enough, and you know that. But you know our frame. And Father, maybe there's a person here that they realize their life has not been what it ought to be to their unbelieving friends, and their friends are going to live forever. Maybe it's just the next door neighbor. It's the friend right next door, somebody they love so dearly. Father, remind us. Remind us so soberly that we're going to live forever. And we're going to live forever either in heaven or hell. That's what your word says. Father, for those that you're working with, draw them to you. Move in this invitation is our prayer. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.